यशोदानन्दन ब्रज जनरञ्जन यशोदानन्दन ब्रज जनरञ्जन जमुना तीरा जमुना तीरा वन चारे जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारे गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारे गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर यशोदानन्दन ब्रज जनरञ्जन यशोदानन्दन ब्रज जनरञ्जन यशोदानन्दन ब्रज जनरञ्जन यशोदानन्दन ब्रज जनरञ्जन जमुना तीरावन चारे जमुना तीरावन जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारे जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारे जय हरि बोल निताय गौर हरि बोल कृष्णपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य श्रोतर्षश्री श्रीमद् हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की शिल प्रभुपाद की समवेत गौर भक्त वृंद की निताय गौर प्रेमानंदी हरि हरि बोल। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम अज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजन शलाखया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदांतिकं। वंदेहं श्री गुरु श्रीयुतः पदकमलं श्री गुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्री रूपं सागरजातां सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजना सहितं कृष्ण चैतन्य देवं श्री राधा कृष्ण पदां सहगणा ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितं हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधोर् जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये। वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासदि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे
हरे कृष्णा। First of all, I would like to apologize for disappointing you. Gaurang Prabhu was supposed to speak and he stuck up somewhere in the suburbs, so I was ordered by him to render some service on his behalf. I feel very much honored and privileged to be amidst all of you. Such bright faces, full of enthusiasm and so much of Krishna consciousness is brimming just by looking at you. I feel so enthusiastic. I was thinking to discuss a very relevant topic today. Since all of us, we are practicing devotees, sadhakas, so we need to know how to practice devotional service living within this material world, and also we should have the understanding of the spiritual world which is our ultimate goal. So I plan to discuss on this particular topic the power of Maya and the power of Krishna. Our Vedic scriptures, in fact, talk about these two principles. We read in the Srimad Bhagavatam instances, examples of personalities who succumbed to the power of Maya, and also we have examples of personalities who took shelter of Krishna and thereby understood the power of Krishna. So these are the two things which essentially we should properly understand in our practice of devotional service. We see sometimes that we slip from the path of devotional service, not necessarily always on a gross level, but sometimes on a subtle level we find ourselves slipping from the strict path of sadhana bhakti, and it is because of either of the two reasons. One is either we underestimate the power of Maya or we underestimate the power of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada, he would tell to his senior disciples that my only concern for all of you is that you are not sufficiently afraid of Maya. In fact, there is one instance. Srila Prabhupada was sitting with few of his senior disciples and Srila Prabhupada asked this question: so what is the difference between all of you and myself? And each of the devotees, they started speaking their understanding. Some of them, they said, Prabhupada, you are the Senapati who has been prophesied by Nityanand Prabhu. Prabhupada said, no. Somebody said, Prabhupada, you are the founder acharya of this Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. So Prabhupada wanted something more. So as everyone spoke their understanding, then Prabhupada said, the only difference between all of you and myself is that you may fall down any time from your position, but I can never. And that was a very bold statement. And everyone was, Jai Srila Prabhupada. They were, you know, feeling, you know, very much secured that, you know, we have someone who can, who has so much of confidence and who can speak such a statement. Of course, they didn't have any doubts also. But then, right after that meeting, Prabhupada went to greet the deities. And Prabhupada was praying aloud to the deities. What was he praying? Oh my dear Lord, please make sure that I may not fall down. And one of the disciples who overheard Srila Prabhupada, who was also sitting at that meeting, he asked Prabhupada, just now you said that is the difference between all of us and you, that you will never fall down. Prabhupada said, now you know why. Because I am always praying. So Prabhupada, he had this concern that they were not sufficiently fearful of Maya. So Prabhupada gave a very nice term to that: to have a healthy fear of Maya. So we should have a healthy fear of Maya, understanding her power, and we should have proper estimation of the power of Krishna, which can deliver us from the stringent laws of Maya, so that we can come out of the existence which we are in. And in the Bhagavad Gita, in a beautiful verse, Krishna, in just one verse, speaks about these two aspects, the power of Maya and his own power. In the 7th chapter, Lord Krishna is saying to Arjuna this celebrated verse, Daivihyesha gunamai mama maya duratyaya mamevaye prapadyante maya metan tarantite. Over here, if we look into this verse, the first two lines of this particular verse, Krishna explains the power of Maya. And the second two lines, Krishna explains what is his power. So Krishna begins by explaining to Arjuna the power of Maya first. So he calls this material energy as Daivi. All of you know this word Daivi. Daivi means divine. So Krishna is calling this material energy as divine, as transcendental, which means that it is temporary in nature, but it has all the powers given by Krishna. So therefore, in that sense, it is the energy of Krishna, and therefore it has the divine powers of Krishna, and it has a very special service. It never tires to allure us away from Krishna. It never happens that Maya gives up on anything or anyone. We may give up Krishna consciousness for some reason, but Maya never gives up on us, even though we may progress in Krishna consciousness. One time, one of our senior sannyasis was explaining that Maya works overtime for devotees especially. For others, she doesn't have to work so hard. They are already under her grip. But especially those who are wanting to come out, the Srimad Bhagavatam gives the example that a river which has a very fast current, if you go in the middle of the river, you can't experience the current with its full intensity. But as you go towards the banks of that river, you can experience that the current of that river becomes more and more strong. So this example is given to make a point that as we try to come out of the grips of Maya, her grips become more and more strong, her current becomes more and more strong. So this is the first quality of Maya which Krishna is mentioning in this particular verse, that she is Daivi. And then Krishna emphasizes by using the words he and Esha. Certainly, without any doubt, what are the other qualities of this material energy? Krishna is saying she is Gunamai. Now we have Srimati Radharani, who is called as Krishnamai, because she is fully in consciousness of Krishna. And Mahamaya is another form of Srimati Radharani, Durga Devi. And she is called Gunamai, just like Radharani is called Krishnamai. Mahamaya over here, Krishna is calling her Gunamai. She is suffused with the three modes of material nature. And how powerful these three modes are, even though we are engaged in this most sublime activity of hearing and chanting about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we experience the modes infiltrating in our consciousness, especially during hearing and chanting. And which modes especially? The mode of ignorance. the mode of ignorance infiltrating. Can you imagine? Here we are trying to engage ourselves in this most sublime and transcendental activity, and the lowest of all the modes infiltrates within. And we see that, what to speak of then at other times when we are not engaged in direct Krishna conscious activities, how much the modes affect us. So therefore, Krishna is calling Maya as Gunamai, giving another quality of Maya, the power of Maya. And then, very interestingly, Krishna says that she is not only Daivi, Gunamai, but Krishna says, she is mine, Mama Maya. Now this was just enough for Krishna to say that how powerful Maya is, because it is belonging to Krishna, who is all powerful. In this material world we see that a big person, a big millionaire or a billionaire, anything connected to a big person, we understand, has to be big also. Like if you go to Mr. Birla's house, he stays close to our temple here. We have been there a few programs. You go to Mr. Birla's house, he's a big man. Anything in Mr. Birla's house will also be big. The watchman standing outside will not be ordinary. He'll not be wearing ordinary dress. The garden outside of that Birla house will not have ordinary plants and flowers in it. Even if you go in the toilet of Mr. Birla, the toilet will not be ordinary. Everything connected to the extraordinary person will be extraordinary. If somebody says that Mr. Birla's car has come to take you for a program, you come to know that, you know, it won't be a Fiat. It won't be just an ambassador. It has to have, you know, that particular level of his status quo. So, herein Krishna is saying that this material energy is mine. Now, who is the most extraordinary person? Krishna. So, if Krishna is saying this material energy is mine, we have to understand that this material energy is not ordinary. And then Krishna goes on to say that it is not only Daivi, it is not only Gunamai, it is not only mine. Krishna further says it is Duratyaya, difficult to overcome. Now who is saying this again? Krishna is saying, who is far beyond the laws of material energy. He is saying that it is difficult to overcome. So therefore we have to take it very seriously. If any one of us would say, then yes, we know that according to our level definitely has to be difficult. But if Krishna is saying, who is so far beyond and transcendental to the laws of this material energy, he is saying, for example, if an expert swimmer who has, say, crossed the English Channel, and if he says that this particular body of water is very difficult to swim in, definitely his words will have weightage, because he himself is an expert swimmer and he is saying. So here Krishna is saying that this material energy of mine is Duratyaya. And how do we understand that this material energy is Duratyaya, difficult to overcome? Just living in this material world, just trying to survive in this material world, we come to know how difficult the laws of this material energy are. We have that verse from the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Neha bhikramanashosti pratyavayo na vidyate svalpam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. Over here it is mentioned that just by a little endeavor in devotional service, svalpam, one can be saved from the greatest danger, mahato bhayat, And Prabhupada writes in the purport, what is that greatest danger? To glide down into the animal species. That is the greatest danger. Srila Prabhupada was on a morning walk in LA and he was speaking about this particular verse. And generally, we have an understanding that if you don't use this human form of life properly, you glide down into the animal species. And then you progress, you evolve again back to the human species. But on this particular walk, Srila Prabhupada, he made a very frightening revelation to all the devotees. He further elaborated that how that gliding down takes place and how that evolution takes place. Srila Prabhupada said that when the human soul glides down into the animal species, it is not that it just becomes one type of one of the animal species and then further goes up into the next higher species. Prabhupada said, the soul which goes into the animal species has to become every type of that one species first and then move on to the higher and then become every type of that another species and then go on to the next higher species. Like for example, if say some human soul goes into dog species, so then the soul has to undergo every type of that dog species. Say bulldog, Doberman, and then Alsatian, and it's not that just becomes one type of dog and then moves on to the next higher species. What to speak if somebody enters into the plant vegetations? How many species of trees are there? And what to speak if the soul enters into some of the tree species which live for thousands of years? In California, they have these redwood trees. They are there for 5,000 years now. So, and that is just one term. And then goes on to the next tree species again. Like that, every tree species and then moves on to the next higher species. So devotees were frightened when they heard that this is what price one has to pay to lose this human form of life. So when we see in this verse, Krishna is saying that little, you know, endeavor on the path of devotional service can save one from the greatest danger. Little endeavor. So conversely, if we take this verse, what we understand? That a little involvement in sense gratification can put us in Mahato Bhayat. If little endeavor on the path of devotional service can save us from Mahato Bhayat, little involvement in material energy can put us in Mahato Bhayat, greatest danger. And what Prabhupada was speaking, gliding down, and what to speak of that happening, even before that, living as a human being. I was talking to one of our students from this chemical engineering college, and this student was just pouring out the tale of his particular life, what he had to undergo, how stringent duratyaya this material energy is, and little involvement in sense gratification can put one in such greatest dangers, troubled waters, as they say. So it was a very graphic presentation of how Maya worked in the life of this devotee. Now he's a devotee chanting 16 knots. He was saying that few years ago, his sister, he got married her to an army man. And this brother-in-law of his, being in army, he was posted different places, transferred at different places. So immediately after marriage, they had one child, but then he was transferred to some border area near Gujarat. And he couldn't control his senses, he started visiting a prostitute there. And he didn't realize that that prostitute had AIDS, which then he also got. And then he didn't realize, because this disease is such that there is this incubation period, and for a long time you may even not know that you may even not know that you have that disease. So he then took some leave, he came home, then he transferred that disease to his wife, which means this the student, this devotee's sister. So now the wife was carrying another baby. So the wife had that disease, the baby in the womb is having that disease. Of course, the husband and three of them, no one knows they have that disease. And then after some time, that the husband, this army man, you know, he has symptoms of that disease and he's admitted in the army hospital. You know, his body weight from 70 kilos goes down to 35 kilos. He just becomes a skinny weakling. And this particular student, since he is into pharmacy, so he knows what this disease is and how this the virus of this disease attacks. He was telling about the virus also, that how this HIV, this virus, it is like a demon. And it is such a demon which can change forms, as you know, Putana could do. That any medicine which is injected in the bloodstream to attack this virus comes to know that what is the code of that medicine. So he was telling that if this virus is coded with, say, there was a code GP130, is the code of one virus of HIV, and if a medicine which is injected in the bloodstream to attack that code of that virus comes to know that this coded medicine is coming, and it changes its form immediately. So that medicine, you know, doesn't have any effect. And what that virus does within the body is, it uses the energy of the body to build up an army to attack the body later on. It's like, you know, a spy entering into some country and uses all the countrymen and attacks that country using all the countrymen. Somebody from Pakistan coming to India and doing that. Can you imagine? So he was explaining that how this virus works, and his brother-in-law started having symptoms of this disease. You know, the first symptoms are you get tuberculosis, and you know, the food pipe is filled with fungus. You can't eat anything. You know, from here till down there, it's filled with fungus. And there is weight loss, and you know, the brain hemorrhage takes place after that. So all of these symptoms started coming up. And over here, the sister started having those symptoms. So she was admitted in the hospital, and the doctor suspected something like that. And when they found out, actually he was explaining that how it all happened. They took the blood sample and the doctors were busy. So they asked the brother to go and collect the blood report. So here is the brother, he's collecting the blood report of his sister. And he brings back the blood report and he just opens in front of his sister. Now, he is not a medical person, but still, the first thing which is written, HIV positive. And the sister is asking, what does the blood report say? And he was, as he was speaking this to me, he was in tears. At that time, he couldn't speak anything to his sister. He said that maybe the doctors can read this properly. So he took to the doctors, and doctors, they said, well, now there is no option for us. In fact, the doctors, they didn't want to do anything with that sister now. And slowly, the new this particular word spread in the hospital. Even, you know, the chaiwala who would bring the tea, he didn't come back to collect the teacups, fearing that, you know, this might get transferred to anyone else. So then at a certain point of time, the doctors, they are asking the brother. Now just try to imagine this question being asked to someone. The doctors are asking this question to him, that now is the time you have to decide, whom do you want? You want your sister to be alive with that disease, or do you want the sister's child to come out still with that disease? Because what's happening is the child is taking all the energy of your sister, and your sister is anyways going to die. So we have to abort the child just so that your sister can survive for whatever number of years. Can you imagine this question being confronted? Whom do you want? Your sister or your sister's son? So he said, well, I don't know who my sister's child will be. I know my sister. I want my sister. So they had to abort the child. And all this while, the sister doesn't know anything about that. And they can't abort the child like usually how, you know, the abortion takes place, because any cut wound will turn fatal for the sister. So some, you know, very powerful demonic solution was supposed to be passed down the bloodstream, which would, you know, totally mutilate the embryo within and flush it out of the body. That was the only way out, and that was being put, and she's not realizing what's happening. The solution is passing in her body and killing the embryo within. And then when that, you know, embryo came out of the body, the doctors, they said, we are not going to touch this because it has that virus in it. And they told to the brother that you have to dispose of this dead embryo. And you have to dispose of, not just throw it anywhere, because if some animal eats, the animal will get that. And if that animal bites someone else, that person will get that. So you have to, you know, put it under the earth. So this was in the middle of the night. He had to take an axe and go into the forest, dig a hole and do all that. So at that particular time in his life, he started attending our programs in the college, and everything made sense to him. The power of Maya, how she is so stringent, Duratyaya, everything made sense to him. So he started chanting 16 rounds, and he gave this chanting and everything to his sister and his brother-in-law. So his brother-in-law started chanting Hare Krishna. You know, very, with great difficulty, he could chant one or two rounds. And within 3 months of chanting one or two rounds, what was the result seen? His weight came back to 70 kilos. His tuberculosis went away. His brain hemorrhage, surprisingly, everything, all the symptoms of that disease went away. And then the doctors, they started sending out reports all over the world, that here we have one patient and, you know, he's getting better. And they were sending reports because of our medicine. Not realizing what was the actual medicine being, you know, worked on his disease or whatever. So he was back to his work. He was back to his work. But then guess what? He stopped chanting. He reverted back to his previous activities. Still he has that disease, but all the other symptoms went away. he again reverted back to his previous old habits. This is the power of Maya. This person underwent all that. He went through that experience and he came in contact with the process. But because of the conditionings which were so strong, he reverted back. So herein we have an example. I was just thinking of on this particular point of Duratyaya, that how this person, he little bit engaged maybe in that sense gratification, and how it all got connected to the wife and to that child, you know, who had to die such a brutal death. So material energy is very, very powerful. And in fact, in Kali Yuga, this is something which is, if we look with this angle of vision, it is something which we can learn lessons from. That Kali Yuga shows misery in such a graphic form that it makes us obvious to leave this material world to go to the spiritual world. Nothing is covered over here. Everything is so graphically shown in Kali Yuga. Just a few weeks ago, one student, his uncle is a bone specialist, and he was telling that his uncle received a case patient. This teenage boy, he went out to eat some pani puri here in Mumbai. All of you know pani puri? Most of you are from Kharagpur? All over India. So you must be knowing this pani puri. It's very famous here in Mumbai. Also in north it's famous. So he went out to eat this pani puri. And he told to the pani puri wala that you make the biggest one for me. And you know how pani puri is taken. You know, you have to take the whole thing inside. So he told him to make the biggest one. Select the biggest puri and make it in that and give it to him, the biggest one. So he somehow found out the biggest one, gave him. So as he was taking it inside, his lower jawbone got dislocated. Totally. And in fact, you know, he couldn't, it was such a, you know, excruciating pain that he couldn't take that puri inside nor outside. It was stuck in between. And like that, he had to be taken to the doctor. So better be careful next time when you eat pani puri. Another of one of our devotees who is a medical representative, who was telling, I was just discussing about, you know, certain diseases which I never knew about how these diseases are. So I was asking about rabies, that what is this disease rabies and how fatal it is. So he was explaining that rabies is a disease which attacks only the brain, and generally it is caused because of some animal bite, and the animals, they bite, you know, the lower part of the body under the waist. So it takes a while for the virus to reach the brain, and the doctors, you know, if the patient is taken in time, the doctors can stop the passage of the virus, you know, through some injections. But otherwise it's fatal. If it reaches the brain, it's fatal. So he said that there was an instance recently in Dadar here in Mumbai. A big corporator here had a nice sweet family, and they had a small dog. Now this devotee was telling, who was the MR, he was telling that Arabic dog who has rabies, that rabid dog also lives only for 7 days. And within those 7 days, if that dog bites someone, then transfers that virus. Otherwise the dog, if doesn't bite anyone, but is a rabid dog, lives only for 7 days and dies. That is how one understands that he was a rabid dog. It dies like that. So this all happened within those 7 days in this corporator's family. the dog had rabies and had only 7 days to live. And one of the days, the son of this corporator was playing with the dog. And the dog happened to lick the cheek of the son. He had some, you know, boil on the cheek. And what happened, because of the licking, the boil got burst. And the virus immediately entered into his system. And how much time it took for that virus to reach the brain from here? Just a moment. In just a fraction of a moment, that child was dead on the ground. So here was this dog kept in the house for the security of the family members. That's why people keep dogs. And that dog became the cause of death of one of their dear family members. So this is how, these are just few samples of what this material energy is made up of. The stringent laws, Duratyaya. Now if Krishna would have just left Arjun with those two lines, Arjun would be utterly in fear. But then Krishna gave confidence to Arjun. And this is what we have to understand. Two things first, power of Maya, power of Krishna. So power of Maya should instill in our heart healthy fear. And power of Krishna, understanding of the power of Krishna, should instill in our heart confidence. So on one hand we have power of Maya, power of Krishna. On the other hand we have fear and confidence. So Krishna is then instilling confidence in the heart of Arjun by saying, Mameva ye prapadyante maya metan tarantite. Just by surrendering unto me, Arjun, one can easily cross beyond the stringent laws of this material energy. Just by surrendering. And we have that famous verse from Ramayana, Lord Ram recited, Sakra deva prapanno yas tavasmi iti yachate. Abhayam tu sarvada tasmai dadamyetad vratam mamah. Lord Ram is saying that anyone who comes in front of me just with folded hands and says once, tava asmi, I am yours, my dear Lord, from now. Just utters these two words, I am yours. Is it very difficult? Yes, with full consciousness to speak that, to speak those two words, I am yours, because we have been speaking those two words to so many other people with full consciousness. So it becomes sometimes very difficult to speak with, you know, a pure heart like that. But Lord Ram says that anyone who just says that once, I take a vow, he says, that I'll give complete fearlessness to that soul. So here in Krishna is also assuring us, giving us confidence that just by surrendering unto me, I will make sure that soul crosses beyond this material ocean, this Bhavasagar. And in the 10th canto, we have the episode of Akrura, how Akrura enters into Vrindavan. So the episode of Akrura entering into Vrindavan is also connected with this particular aspect which we are discussing today. That when Akrura started off from Mathura to go to Vrindavan, the journey of Akrura from Mathura to Vrindavan is compared to the journey which we are taking from this material world to go to the spiritual world, Golok Vrindavan. So we know that story, how Kamsa, he asked Akrura to go to Vrindavan to call Krishna and Balaram to Mathura. So as Akrura sets off from Mathura on his chariot, Srimad Bhagavatam explains that what were the various emotions which Akrura was feeling in his heart as he was approaching towards Vrindavan. The first emotion which Akrura had within his heart was the emotion of fear, what we are discussing. He started to fear that, will it be possible for me to see Krishna and Balaram? What am I expecting? So, Akrura is thinking in his mind, fearing that first of all, I am a messenger of Kamsa, who is the enemy of Krishna and Balaram. Secondly, you know, I have not done any pious activities to get their darshan. And thirdly, I am engaged in such materialistic activities here in the kingdom of Kamsa. So thinking like that, he was having fear. He was fearing whether he'll be, you know, qualified enough to meet with Krishna and Balaram. But then, immediately as he was approaching closer to Vrindavan, that emotion of fear was getting transferred into confidence. So then Akrura is speaking to himself that I am actually belittling the position of Krishna and Balaram and their power of giving their mercy to me, that I am thinking that my disqualification is more powerful than the power of Krishna and Balaram to deliver me. Is it confusing? Akrura was thinking that why am I doubting the potency of Krishna and Balaram? I might be the most unqualified, and he was having that fear. But then that fear started to get into the emotion of confidence when he started to think about Krishna and Balaram. So if we only think about ourselves, we'll be always in fear. So when Akrura started thinking about Krishna and Balaram, he started to develop confidence. So many times, of course, in Kali Yuga, people, you know, they come up with so many different excuses not to take up to devotional service for so many reasons. Just like, you know, Srimad Bhagavatam says that this is ocean of faults. We can also say this is an ocean of excuses not to practice devotional service. And why I'm saying that, you know, there was one person whose excuse, you know, appeared to me the most far out excuse of all the excuses which I had heard so many times. This person, you know, I was just speaking about the glories of chanting Hare Krishna and asked him to also take up at least chanting one round. Can you imagine what was his excuse, what he gave to not chant Hare Krishna? This was a very unique and far out excuse which I had ever heard. He said that, see, you don't know how sinful I am. The extent of my sin, you don't know. No one knows. I am so sinful that if I chant your Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, your Hare Krishna Maha Mantra will become polluted. And if your Hare Krishna Maha Mantra becomes polluted, all of you who are chanting, you will become polluted. So just to protect all of you, I am not chanting. So he was being very benevolent. It's like saying that I am so dirty that if I take bath, the water will become dirty. So therefore I am not taking bath to protect the water. So Akrura was not thinking like that I am so unqualified that even Krishna and Balaram cannot deliver me. So when he started focusing on Krishna and Balaram, he started to develop confidence. And when he developed so much confidence, how that confidence got solidified in Akrura's mind, Akrura started envisioning. Just some time ago, Akrura was fearing whether he'll be able to even see Krishna and Balaram. And then that fear, when it got transferred into confidence, Akrura started envisioning, what to speak of seeing Krishna and Balaram. Krishna and Balaram will embrace me. In fact, Krishna will ask me, my dear Akrura, how are you? and Balramji will take me into Nanda Bhavan and will wash my feet, will offer me honey and yogurt. To that extent, Akrura is becoming so confident that he is envisioning such details of what will happen. And then the confidence turned into ecstasy when Akrura saw the footprints of Krishna and Balaram. So this is how the sequence takes place. From healthy fear to confidence to the highest goal of ecstasy in Krishna consciousness. And as Akrura was entering Vrindavan, he was totally influenced by the vibrations of the holy dham. And when he saw the footprints of Krishna and Balaram, he just jumped from his chariot and he started rolling. And in fact, Shukadeva Goswami in a beautiful verse explains, Deham Britham Iyan Artho Hitva Dambham Shucham Bhayam. That as Akrura was rolling in the dust of the footprints of Krishna and Balaram, what were the thoughts in Akrura's mind? Akrura was thinking that I give up all kind of pride which I have. And what was the pride? He didn't have any pride in him. But the acharyas, they are explaining, speaking the mind of Akrura. Akrura was thinking that people might think that I am that great minister from Mathura. So, you know, I have that pride of being the minister of Kamsa. So I give up that pride. And he rolled. That was the first roll. Then Hitva Bhayam. He gave up fear. And what was that fear which he gave up? He was thinking that Kamsa, if he comes to know that I have come here to call Krishna and Balaram to Mathura, because Kamsa wanted to kill Krishna and Balaram. So here is the messenger coming of Kamsa, and he's rolling in the dust of the enemy of Kamsa. So what will Kamsa do to me if he comes to know what I'm doing? So he says, I don't fear Kamsa anymore. The second role. Hitva Bhayam. I give up all fear of Kamsa. And then Akrura is thinking that Kamsa might threaten me by, you know, capturing my family members. Just like, you know, in movies they do that. If you don't do what I say, your mother, your sister, or your brother is here at gunpoint. So Kamsa might do something to my family member. So he says, I give up all the lamentation for them also. That was the third role. So like that, you know, Hitva Dambham, Hitva Bhayam, Hitva Shucham, he gave up all lamentation, fear and pride, and he was rolling in the dust in ecstasy. And Shukadeva Goswami says, this is what every single human being should aspire for. Deha Bhritam Iyan Artho. This is the real value for every human being. What is that real value? To roll in ecstasy, in pure love for Krishna and Balaram. So in this example of Akrura, we see how these emotions which we are talking about, healthy fear he had, then he had confidence, sufficient confidence in the mercy of Krishna and Balaram, which culminated in pure ecstasy as he entered Shri Vrindavan Dham. So in our life, as we have taken up this journey to go back home, back to Godhead, we have to also cultivate in the footsteps of Akrura how to enter into Vrindavan. We have to cultivate that healthy fear of Maya so that we'll be protected from her, and we have to have sufficient confidence in the practice of Krishna consciousness, and then ultimately, if we are fortunate enough, by the mercy of great acharyas, we may even receive that ecstatic love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Yes. Yes, yes, I can hear. You can speak. Yes. No, it doesn't happen in the human species. I forgot to tell that. Prabhupada even mentioned that when we are in the human species, we should not think that I will become every type, the 4 lakh different varieties of human beings, and then I will go down maybe into, because for us as human beings we have the responsibility, and therefore karma works only in this human form of life. So it doesn't work in the human form of life, but definitely it works in the animal species. So therefore it is duratyaya. Yes. Where is the sound coming? Oh. Yeah.
And we will mean fearlessness. So what is this fearlessness we mean? Either the bad thoughts will not come to us, or if they come to us, then we will be able to overcome that.
Bad thoughts you are saying? Just like a person who is, how is the physical health of a person determined? The physical health of a person is determined in relationship to the immunity which the person has of the body. We are discussing about that disease, HIV. What is that? When the immune system goes down totally, it becomes deficient. So the virus becomes prominent. So for a devotee who has surrendered completely, yes, externally the attacks might come. We have the example of Haridas Thakur. He was attacked by a prostitute. But because his immunity was so powerful that what to speak of he getting attacked, that prostitute became a devotee. That spiritual virus from Haridas Thakur's practice pure chanting entered into that prostitute, and that prostitute became a surrendered devotee. So what we do with our practice of devotional service, we develop our immune system. And therefore, Krishna is saying that you can transcend this material world. Not that you will be able to work upon all the miseries of this material world. That because of our strict practice, we can transcend the problems of this material world. And even if we are in this material world, the problems will not affect us. So that is what the understanding is. The attacks will come, definitely the attacks will come. The attacks will come more. Therefore, it is said that for a neophyte devotee, when Maya attacks, it is generally for purification. But for a pure devotee, when Maya attacks, it is for glorification. So we have to understand at every step of our life, we are living in this material world, we have to confront with the laws of this material nature. But to the extent we have surrendered to Krishna, to that extent, the laws will not affect us. And to the extent, just like, to the extent we are conscious while chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, to that extent, the modes will not attack us. When does the mode attack us? When we become inattentive. When we become callous. And therefore they say, when you are casual in your practice of devotional service, you become a casualty. So we have to be every moment on guard. You had something more to ask? How to what? How to know?
How does this lead to purification? I mean, attack will agitate our mind, and then how will the purification?
Just like we give this simple example of when you are in school or when you are in college, examination is like an attack. But if you are prepared for the examination, what does that examination give to you? Progress in the next class. You are progressed into the next standard. So yes, for some person who is not prepared, it might be attack which might totally discourage that student, but somebody who is prepared, that examination was acting like a stepping stone and that student moved forward. So like that, Krishna arranges. We have to understand that if our desires and motivations are pure, even though we might not be a pure devotee, but if our desire is pure to become a pure devotee, then Krishna will arrange our life in such a way that the attacks will be such that we have the capacity to cross over it and will become more and more strong in our Krishna consciousness as we confront with the attacks of Maya. For Srila Prabhupada, we know that how so many different problems apparently were seen in his attempt to spread Krishna consciousness. But all of those problems, they just glorified the position of Srila Prabhupada more and more and more. And of course, for other devotees, we also read about them, hear about them, that there were, you know, bigger or smaller attacks in their lives. And eventually, as Krishna says, that whatever we do in devotional service is a permanent asset. So there is never a loss. Even though somebody might be seen totally being defeated by Maya, but still there is no loss in that particular endeavor. He is always on the winning side because he has done something to please Krishna, and whatever amount that might be. How does a person fall from the spiritual world? It's an eternal question. Generally, we have been given the understanding by our acharyas how free will means we can either use it or misuse it. One time Prabhupada, he would always, you know, give a certain answer to this particular question by saying that we are now in this material world, we should make plans to come out of this material world. Give the example of a drowning man, and somebody is giving some help to this drowning man, and that particular time he's asking, tell me first how I, you know, came in this water. First tell me that, and then only I'll take this help. Now, in one particular session, Srila Prabhupada, he gave a very wonderful answer, a different outlook to that. Yeah, just let me finish. So Prabhupada said that it was not that we became kind of envious of Krishna and we wanted to become like Krishna, take his position. Prabhupada said it was just a curiosity which brought us in this material world. And he gave the example that just like you are eating halwa, nice succulent butter halwa you are eating. So you are eating every day butter halwa, but one day you may desire, and it may happen, to eat some puffed rice. Let me check out how puffed rice tastes like. So Prabhupada gave this example of halwa and puffed rice, that we were eating butter halwa in the spiritual world, but we became little curious to taste the puffed rice of this material world. So that curiosity brought us here. And Prabhupada, you know, he showed to some people who were eating out, you know, in the street. And he said that just like these people are eating out from this vendor here, it's not that they don't have anything to eat at home. They have everything to eat at home, their homemade food. But today they decided that let us try to taste something different from what we regularly get at home. So when they had that desire, they had to come out of their homes. So similarly, we have our regular eternal position in the spiritual world, which is our home. But because of that curiosity, we came here in this material world. Now, we have the full understanding once we go back. Somebody who has been burnt by fire once knows that what it takes one to undergo that experience. So therefore Krishna is giving the assurance that once you go back to the spiritual world, then you will never, because that, you know, Sachidananda Swarup which we have, in that, that Chit feature, which means full knowledge, which means we have the full knowledge of the material world also then, what we have experienced in the material world. So that full knowledge of the material world will never allow us to again get burnt, to come back in this material world. Yes, in one sense we can say that, that's what Prabhupada in one lecture said, that once you go back, then all the bitter experiences of this material world, which you never had before, will not allow you to come back in this material world. Yes, somebody might come along with Krishna for, you know, assisting Krishna, but not a kind of a fall down from the spiritual world. No, that doesn't take place. Yes, because of our misuse of free will. It begins with the misuse of free will. Just like Maya is all around. Even for a pure devotee, Maya is all around. One time, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj was giving this example. He was saying that what is the difference between a non-devotee, a struggling neophyte devotee and a pure devotee. That a non-devotee, when Maya presents herself, he very openly with loud voice says, "Yes, I welcome you." And for a neophyte who knows, at least theoretically, that now Maya is presenting herself, and he knows that he shouldn't be getting into that, so he is not fully convinced of giving up that pleasure of Maya. So that neophyte struggling devotee, what he says to Maya then, when Maya presents herself, wait. He doesn't say yes or no. He says wait. And for a pure devotee, when Maya present, says no, completely. So again, herein, the free will is there for everyone. So the power of Maya again works only when we choose to go into her or engage in those activities or even in the thoughts. So again, it comes back to our free will. So it is the free will which decides whether we'll stay in this material world or whether we'll go back to the spiritual world. The more we are conscious of Krishna, the less we are in Maya. And the more we are conscious or unconscious of Krishna, the more we are in Maya. That is a barometer how we can understand. So then we can see in our life what are the activities all throughout the day which makes me come closer to Krishna and makes me more conscious of Krishna. And what are those activities which in which I am tending to forget Krishna. So that is the yardstick. Smartavya satatam Vishnur, vismartavya na jatuchi. We have to always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. So both things are there. And yes, we can go in detail as to, you know, what are the different... That's what Krishna explained very categorically, what Maya is. She is Daivi, Gunamai, she is His. and she is Duratyaya. Do you experience all these factors of Maya in your life sometimes? So then we know to some extent what Maya is, to a larger extent also. Little involvement in sense gratification.
Then also because it draws attention.
Yeah.
But also Krishna says that if a devotee makes small mistakes, that he is forgiven, if he continues in devotional service. And so, how can understand?
Krishna says that if a devotee commits small mistakes, then he is forgiven. You see, we have to understand that Krishna consciousness is not like a mathematical calculation. That okay, whatever has been said, that's it. Krishna can never change his words, or Krishna, or nothing can happen otherwise. Let us take what you said right now and take the example of Bharat Maharaj. You know the example of Bharat Maharaj? He was on the platform of Bhava. But then he got involved into a deer. And what did he become? He became a deer. But then, specifically for Bharat Maharaj, Krishna arranged that his memory was retained. We have another example of Maharaj Indradumna in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Was also a great devotee because of a silly mistake, he was cursed and he became an elephant, Gajendra. But again, his memory of his previous devotional service was revived in that precarious condition when he was attacked by the crocodile. So we have to understand that Krishna is a person, he is a sentient being, and he works according to the specific cases of devotees. So yes, definitely we have to understand that confidence which you are talking about in Krishna, we should have that confidence within Krishna, that yes, Krishna will protect me at every step in my devotional service. But we have to also have that healthy fear that if I don't take care of my sadhana bhakti from my side, that I might slip, and that slipping might take me into various other activities. Just like in our chanting, it is said that the mother of all offenses is inattentive chanting. Now that inattentive chanting can lead to all the other offenses. You getting the point? So yes, somebody might say that how is it that just by merely chanting inattentively, that person got an animal birth? So you are not seeing what happened in between. You are just seeing inattentive chanting and animal birth. But that inattentive chanting might lead into Vaishnava Prad, might lead into maybe a sinful life, and then it might lead into animal birth later on. So like that, of course, we can't make a general statement that it might happen with everyone or it's going to happen with everyone. But always the fear is there. Since we are living in the material world, the fear is always there. So that fear should help us to protect ourselves. Not that we become discouraged and totally become stressed out that, you know, I'm going to become an animal. And that too, not just one, but every type of every species. So we'll be, you know, shivering at every moment in Krishna consciousness like that. Not for that, but just to make us understand that this is what the world is made up of, and we have to take guard and take shelter of Krishna completely and totally. That should motivate us to take shelter of Krishna completely, rather than focusing more on, you know, this fear aspect.